word of his power. In the word of his power, amen. Amen. This morning, we share with you, hallelujah, from the gospel of Dr. Luke. Hallelujah. Chapter 17, specifically, verses 11 through 19. Let me just read it to you. Thank you. Beginning at verse 11, chapter 17, St. Luke. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God to glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Let's pray again. Hallelujah. Our Father who sits in heaven, but yet remains sovereign over all creation.
Yes.
We glorify and we worship you, Father. And we look at the name that is above all other names.
Jesus.
And that name belongs to Christ Jesus. Who we know this morning as,
I am.
Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for the Son of the living and the Most High God. In humility, Father, as we dare not think of ourselves this morning, we say, not our will, but your will be done. In every area of our lives, pour into our minds your wisdom and your power, your life-changing and thought-transforming power. Let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, this morning. Make us to hear joy and gladness from victory that comes from the cross, that we may move from glory to glory, and from glory to glory, in the preeminence of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Family, in this 11th hour, and indeed this 11th month, on this fourth Sunday of November, I'm glad to share a thought with you and a subject which is also a question for us in this season of Thanksgiving. It's still Thanksgiving. And the thought, the theme, the subject is this. Are we one of them? Are we one of them? Are we one of them? And Dr. Luke gives us an account that should remind us. I think we've already experienced that already this morning. Thank you, Sister Monica, and thank you, Dr. Reverend Hepburn. What you shared with us, and it connects with Dr. Luke's account, how important it is to be reminded of doxology, and how doxology should be a part of the lives of each and every saint who's a part of the body of Christ. In its basic and pure sense, doxology is the oral expression of praise and glorification given to God. So when he heals our body, hallelujah, we just give him praise. When he meets our need, we just give him the glory. When he saves our loved ones, hallelujah, we just give God the glory. Hallelujah. Here in the text, Dr. Luke shares with us that a stranger to Israel, but at the same time, not a stranger to the Most High God, this Samaritan man, this used to be a leper. This man came back to give glory to God for the miracle of healing. And I pray this morning that even though we are 3 days away from celebrating on a national level in America what we call Thanksgiving Day, that we who are on this call have come back together this morning to give our own doxology, if you will, of how good, how better than good, hallelujah, God has been to us. Every day is a day. Every day is a day to give God thanks for the miracles he has bestowed upon us. He loved us when we didn't even love him or ourselves. He remained faithful to us when we didn't even remain faithful to him. He saved us and he protected us when we couldn't even save, hallelujah, or protect ourselves. So we give him total praise this morning for being an on-time God, for being a real-time God. Every day, as often as moved by the power of the Holy Ghost, we should spice up the atmosphere. We should spice up the atmosphere within by just giving glory to the source and the Most High God. I can hear in the volume of the book, I like to call the Bible the book of best management practices. I can hear the doxology shared by the Lord's half-brother Jude, who wrote this, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. In considering Dr. Luke's account based on our text this morning, no doubt the Samaritan stranger had a real time, a life-changing, a life-altering experience with the King of Glory that resulted in his healing from the sickness of leprosy. Leprosy. During biblical times, leprosy was a dreaded and hideous and obvious skin disease. It was a disease that created panic and fear in others, even though there was no evidence that it was contagious. However, the the skin disease that was called leprosy, it involved discoloration of the skin, and there would be pus oozing out of the wounds of the flesh, and it created a stigma that anyone who had it was being punished as a result of divine judgment based upon the mandates of the Levitical law. Those who had leprosy were to live apart from those who were considered to be clean folk. In fact, those who had leprosy, they had to live outside of the camp. They had to live outside of the city. They had to live outside of the town, wherever they were residing. And if you had it, you had to wear on your brow the outward sign of separation, and you had to cry out the words of warning, unclean, unclean, for anybody who was coming close to you. In fact, the law required that there had to be a physical separation of 100 paces between the clean or uninfected folk and those having leprosy. Leprosy dictated that those who had it, they had to remain socially distant from those who had not been infected. Again, even though there was no evidence that it was contagious, you had to be socially distant. But at the same time, that those with leprosy had to be socially distant from those who were clean, it was okay for them to congregate among themselves. So we find here in chapter 17 and read that there are 10 lepers that include men whose racial ancestry is tied to Israel and also Samaria. We are not certain how many were Hebrews, and we're not certain how many were Samaritans, but we know from the text that at least one of them was a Samaritan. It is interesting that we find here Hebrews and Samaritans who traditionally despised one another. They hated one another, being grouped together as a result of their common pandemic. I hope you're listening with me this morning. They hated each other, but they found themselves congregated together with a common misery, a common pandemic. Even though both of them claim Abraham as their father, and both of them claim Moses as their liberator, family, they just couldn't stand each other. And they were always 38 hot with each other. These two distinct racial groups normally had no feelings with each other and viewed each other from the lens of absolute vexation. They couldn't stand to be with each other. They didn't appreciate one another. I'm sure that you remember the Samaritan woman's encounter with the King of Glory. She came to draw water from Jacob's well. The Lord Jesus said to her, "Would you give me a drink?" But she said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" But Jews do not have any dealing with the Samaritans. I believe this morning that the King of Glory, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is showing us an oxymoron. That when we are in the very pandemic of our lives, just like the 10 lepers, racial hatred and racial animosity has no meaning or value. Misery, hallelujah, love company. And when we are, thank you, Dr. Heffron, when we are stuck in our most favorite miserable feeling, it is hard to get us out. And we want to be stuck, and we want others to be just as stuck as we are, because misery loves company. You see here an oxymoron that men who are in more favorable circumstances, in more convenient times, would absolutely hate each other and would not have any dealings with one another. But because of their common misery, because of their common, most favorable, miserable condition, hallelujah, these 10 men are driven together as outcasts from their own people. And family, I submit to you this morning that see, hallelujah, now walking in the perfect will of God is a common misery. Sin is our pandemic. The devil is our common enemy. And in this 11th hour, the body of Christ is in no position to be divided by race and divided by gender and divided by social distinction or anything else. We can't be divided now in this 11th hour, but we are called to proclaim, hallelujah, the good news of Jesus Christ, and that God, hallelujah, is love. If it ain't love, it ain't God, and God loves us. The King of Glory, the King of Glory, the King of Glory, the King of Glory, the effective communicator, giving unto us in this very moment, is reminding us even now that the Samaritan woman, like he did the Samaritan woman, he's reminding us even now that there is no racial divide in Christ Jesus. He told her, he said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The King of Glory has come to give us mercy and take away the misery, regardless of our race, regardless of our gender, regardless of our social status, regardless of our educational pedigree, regardless of our wealth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So in this 11th hour, the Spirit is asking us, are we one of them? Are we one of them? Are we one of them whom the Son has saved and set free? In their common misery, we see in verses 12 and 13 that the 10 lepers who remained socially distant but yet spiritually connected lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, or if you will, Commander-in-Chief, 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 have mercy on us. And the Bible goes on and says, and when he saw them, thank God, hallelujah, for Jesus, who doesn't ignore us, the love in his eyes, the love in his ear hears us. The King of Glory sees us and hears us. He looks beyond our thoughts. Hallelujah. He looks beyond our much money we put in the offering plate. He looks beyond how jacked up we are. And he sees, and he hears, and he delivers, and he supplies our every need. Verse 14, hallelujah, said, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were clean. I find it powerful and enlightening that Jesus, the King of Glory, doesn't expressly say that they are healed. He doesn't tell them to go and touch your neighbor. He doesn't say, go tell your neighbor. He doesn't say, high five your neighbor. He just says, go show yourselves unto the priest. I believe, Dr. Hepburn, hallelujah, I believe that he was sending the 10 lepers to a dead, hallelujah, to remind them about the living God, hallelujah. Go show yourselves unto the elders. Go show yourselves unto the pastors. Go show yourselves, hallelujah, unto the district elders. Go show yourselves. Unto the executive council. Go show yourselves and remind them of how, hallelujah, the living God. The living God.
Yeah.
With the living church.
Jesus.
God.
Thank you.
He is not dead. He is. Yeah. Yet alive. Yeah. I can hear as we usher in, celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and the gift of God. I'm hearing this song. Go tell it on the mountain.
Yeah.
Over the hill. And everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ
is born.
That's the gospel. That's the good news.
Yeah.
He was born to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. And to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. The last sentence of verse 14, it goes on to say that, and it came to pass. That as they went, they were clean. They were healed. To the ecclesia, to the body of Christ, to those who are on this call, under the sound of the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is encouraging me to encourage all of us that often our healing is not simply in our praying. Our healing is in our obeying. Our healing is in our obeying. Our healing is in our obeying. You can read the text for yourself. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Not before, not after, but as they went. They were clean. And it came to pass that as they went, as they obeyed the command of Christ, they were healed. In this 11th hour, the Holy Spirit is speaking and saying, as you leave that woman, as you leave that man, as you leave that unclean living, as you leave that sugary drink that is making you diabetic, as you leave that high sodium and high cholesterol diet, as you leave that mental and emotional neglect, as you leave that failure to sow into yourself and to take advantage of interest compounded daily in your own personal finances, as you go and follow the command of Christ, you shall be clean. You shall be healed. You shall be delivered. In chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet says this: if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Are you listening this morning with me, attentively, to the word of his power? We shall eat the good of the land if we walk in harmony with the book of best management principles and practices. If we just obey the command of the commander-in-chief himself, Jesus. If my people, who are called by my name, right now let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, oh, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Our solution and our resolution is in our obedience to Christ. Our forgiveness is in our obedience to Christ. Our healing is in our obedience to Christ. Our prosperity. Speak increase. Speak increase. Speak increase to your obedience to the commands of Christ. Our unspeakable joy is in our obedience to the command of Christ. He said, happy are you if you do. Take what our work is there. Happy are you if you do these things. As I bring this to around and take my seat, if you will, listen to the word of his power. Beginning at verse 15 through 19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He gave God the doxology, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Family, the 9 lepers received the outward cure and cleansing of his miraculous power. But the Samaritan man, the stranger, the one racially, religiously, socially, and politically declared to be an outcast by their church. This Samaritan man, the so-called minority, this man came back to give a doxology to the living God. He cried with a loud voice and glorified God. He humbled himself. He turned from his wicked ways. He fell down on his face. Not because of sin, not because of disobedience, but because of his love. And he gave the King of glory thanks. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? I submit to dead King Jesus. Hallelujah. And because the Samaritan man, because he came back and he gave the doxology, if you will, he received something better than being outwardly cured. as Sister Annette poured into our lives last week, I think we would describe him as being thankful, grateful, and blessed. The Samaritan man was thankful, grateful, and blessed. Right now, we who are on this call need to be thankful, grateful, because we are blessed. Your faith has made you whole. This man received the spiritual blessing of Jesus Christ and was made whole. He was saved from his sin. He was made whole in mind, in body, and in soul. He was made whole. Family, do we want to be made whole? Are we one of them? Are we one of them?